Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another MCU for Dummies. I am dummy number one, Ken. That is dummy number two, Lewis. And we are burdened with glorious purpose to cover episodes two and three of Loki, released on Disney+. Lou, it has been every bit as exciting as we all had hoped. And before we kick off the conversation, I want to apologize if there is any audio weirdness on my side. I am in a very empty home. There is a lot of echo, and I apologize. However, Lewis, Loki, bananas. WandaVision was insanity, right? Falcon Winter Soldier was a little bit more grounded, a little more earthly. WandaVision was still pretty earthly, too, if we put it that way. But Loki has been cosmic. It has been game-changing. It has changed the rules for what we believe about our Marvel characters. We have gender fluidity. We have bisexuality. And if he's a god and, you know, maybe has interacted with other folks, maybe it's a little bit more than bisexuality, right? So, Lou, Loki's playing with all the rules in our heads. How crazy has it been for you?
Yeah, it's got something for everyone if you're into the sci-fi, if you're into the world-based, if you're into some prince or maybe some princesses. It's got something for everybody, and I think we've spoken about how great this episode is. And the focus, the scope of this episode is going to be just quick recap of episode two,
yeah,
and then episode three. Ken and I could not get in touch last week because of life events, but what are you going to do? So we are working professionals, and we come here to just do a quick recap of episode two and three, which I don't think we're missing out on much here with episode three, given it was only 35 minutes. And as I said before we got on this call, it was mainly like an epilogue of episode two.
Right back to Disney Plus. Once they give it to you, right, they're like, here's Loki. It's 60 minutes. You're going to really, you can really like dig into it. Then they just tear you down. They turn you back to dust, and they give you a 35-minute episode with 14-minute credits. And here we are once again talking about, wow, if only there was more juice in that episode.
Yeah, for sure. But I think this is one of the trade-offs of the TV show format. We get stories that are able to be unfolded in a more detailed way, but we are, you know, it's not TV, it's streaming.
Yeah.
So it's not like 42 minutes of show plus commercials every single week. It might be 60 minutes, it might be 35 minutes. And I think this is just something we have to accept going forward. However, it does play nicely on rewatches, because WandaVision had a couple of these instances. I think the first episode was maybe 30 minutes, while the season finale was closer to 60. And I recently rewatched the entire series with my partner, and it was a much better experience watching them all together than periodically piece by piece as they're coming out. So I think it's just something that we're going to have to see with streaming. But overall, I would still say, you know, the show is a knockout, but definitely episode three was probably the weakest of the trio so far.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, I mean, but that's like saying that, you know, like if you had a team full of like LeBron, Jordan, and, you know, Magic Johnson, that like Magic Johnson would be the third wheel. And it's like,
right.
Okay.
It still was a great episode. And I think we'll get into those nuances of the cinematography and also the main, the two main reveals
in
episode three, which we'll get to. But let me do my part. We'll just do a quick recap of episode two.
Get in there, buddy.
Three. If you're listening to this episode, then we are under the impression that you have already seen episode two, The Variant, and episode three, Lamentous One. So therefore, none of this should really be spoilers. But just humor Ken and I here as we just do quick recaps. And then majority of this conversation will be driven through question-based analysis. And we'll give some of our thoughts here. So I'll take over right now. The Variant. Obviously, I would put it out there as I think the strongest episode of the series so far, with over 13,000 reviews so far on IMDb. Episode still sits at 9.1. It's some good stuff. Starts off, we're at a town fair. It's 1985 in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You got
Have you ever been to Oshkosh, Wisconsin?
I have not, but I feel like I used to wear some clothing materials that said Oshkosh on it from back then. Have you been to Oshkosh? Perhaps you guys have a vacation home over in the Cheese
State. Unfortunately not, Lou. I was actually supposed to go to Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
For what?
In 2015 with work, when I worked for the big insurance firm back in the day, there was a big aviation event in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And I was on the guest list, but I unfortunately came down with what I believe some would consider the 24-hour flu, which is which is also referred to as a hangover. And I missed my flight, and I did not go to Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
You hate to hear it, but now you're at a new employer, so therefore that story doesn't really matter. Now it's just a fun one.
Correct.
So we're in Oshkosh. It's the Minutemen. Loki and Mobius M. Mobius, we are introduced to one of the Minutemen, Minute Women, you might say, or however you define the gender, named C-20, who becomes relevant in an episode later. And they're on the hunt for this Loki variant, right? This idea that there is a different variation of Loki out there. They are brought to a tent. The tent is draped out in green. And then we hear Ken's favorite workout song from the 80s, I Need a Hero, beginning to play. Enchanted being takes control of C-20. C-20 kicks everyone's ass, and we are just left to just question what just happened. Loki stalls a bit, plays some mind games, trying to get to the time keepers and such, but we basically don't get anything from that except that there's another person out there that has mind control power, takes over this Minuteman. We are then kicked back to the TVA, in which Loki is doing what every cubicle monkey is up to, is just sitting down reading reports and such. We'll do a quick pause here, Ken. We see Miss Minutes as like a holographic entity, and Loki asks her, are you real or just recording? And she responds with, just a little bit of both. And then Loki tries swatting her with a paper, and she's jumping around. There's a bunch of sound effects that are, you know, given that this person is existing in whatever reality we're seeing right now. And it just brings up that question of what is Miss Minutes and what is the purpose, first off, of the TVA? What is the purpose of Renslayer? Then what is the purpose of Miss Minutes? What do you think? What is your leading theory right now?
Yeah, well, Lou, let me ask you a question before I give my theory.
You're going to question my question?
I am. I'm gonna hit you with one of those.
All right, throw the question back. Go ahead.
Is my opinion based solely on my thoughts post episode 2, or is it based on my thoughts now post episode 3?
That's a good question. Okay, let's continue with the summary really quick. I'll go a little faster. We then go to Mobius's one-on-one school, where we learn that there are variations of Lokis known as the variants. We see some crazy Lokis. We see a very big muscular one. We see one that looks like Cheech and Chong. We see a blue one that brings reference to Loki's home planet of Jotunheim. So we realize basically that there's more Lokis out there in this multiverse of timelines. Mobius then gets called into the principal's office and has a one-on-one meeting with Renslayer, Ramona Renslayer, which we can get to all the different clues that are going on there, but definitely some sketchy stuff. We hear that there is another analyst working for her. We don't know who that is. Mobius just continues to create stains because of his beverage on her counter. He's not using a coaster. What is up with that?
Come on, Mobius.
And we also see a reference to a snow globe from San Diego and a pencil from Franklin Delano Roosevelt High School, which makes absolutely no sense. A lot of stuff there. We'll get into the questions at that point. Loki and Mobius then descend down to the TVA archives. Loki's playing analyst. He realizes that the variant Loki that they are trying to hunt from episode 1 is hiding in Apocalypses. This then brings them to Pompeii to prove that this is a valid theory. Mobius takes it, brings it back to his boss and says,
in what was a fairly dark scene, by the way. Like, I don't think we're, like, talking about, like nobody's, like, mentioning how dark Loki is, like when they reset people. And if you have only watched episode 2, then you're still invited to this conversation, and you know, but be alert, because we are going to start talking about episode 3 soon enough. But you know, you're talking about like people getting reset, like just disappearing, and like all of these timelines just getting reset with that big charge, right? Like, it's very dark, like these people hanging out in Apocalypses, and like Loki and Mobius are sitting there. They know exactly what's going to happen, and they're not like taking people away, right? Like, they're just letting them all blow to.
Whoever the timekeepers are, the TVA agents state that they are the ones that, you know, let these things happen, and they are the ones that, you know, believe in the sacred timeline for whatever reason. Maybe we'll get more into that too. But we see Pompeii, we see obviously the volcano go off, and that proves Loki's theory that his variation, who is part of himself, is hiding these apocalypse events. So we come back to the archives. There's some sketchy, weird things. Loki asks to see files of the TVA's creation. The librarian says he can't see those, they're restricted. He then says, okay, how does it end? She says those are restricted too. So what is up with that? Mobius has a weird monologue where he's talking about jet skiing, saying that at one point in time, the 90s humans came up with something that was so simple and functional, hence the jet ski. Very odd scene. Loki basically explains this apocalypse theory by ruining Mobius's sad Panera bread looking salad. Very unfortunate.
Those salads are delicious.
A lot of weird stuff that's going on there, but the crux of the episode gets us to Loki's main theory of these apocalypses that brings them to the year 2050. We find out there are a couple of weird events that are on our horizon: the climate disaster of 2048, the tsunami of 2051, and the extinction of the sparrows in 2050. All pretty unfortunate stuff that is set to pace humanity going forward. But we get brought to this like super storm that's going taking place in Haven Hills, Alabama, at this Amazon looking Walmart establishment called Roxcart. It's a play, obviously, on the energy company Roxconn, which, you know, is in through Marvel films and also mainly in Spider-Man, also in the new Spider-Man Miles Morales video game. But that's a side note. We're walking through this store, as Ken points out. There are a bunch of civilians that are basically just huddled in fear, and everyone in the TVA, including Loki, knows that they're going to die because on the TVA report, it says ultimate disaster, no one is left alive. And someone makes a comment of like, well, should we save them? And Loki just says, no, they're going to die anyway. So the mission tilts to trying to find this variant who is likely hiding in this warehouse. We get a quick glimpse of a hooded figure that we've seen multiple times, a la episode one in the oil field, that is in this command station. It seems like it is Loki's variant, keeps referring to a he. We go through this weird sort of, you know, battle between Loki and a bunch of civilians that are being mind controlled by some sort of power. And it leads up to this big old hoss of a man who then challenges Loki to a fight. They get in this big battle. That person then no longer is suitable for this energy. And then the true form takes over, which we see two hands of glowing green fists in a hood. And you get Ken's girl, Sophia DiMartino, who says, this is not about you, to Loki, and gives this epic little wave and then leaves through a tent pad, leading Mobius and a bunch of Minutemen running after him, saying, Loki, wait. And what does Loki do? He follows this figure that is wearing horns like himself into this tent pad, and so we don't know. And as Mobius has lost his man. Ken, anything you want to point there? Episode three, not as long, so I'll go through the summary there too, but is there anything that is just sit on your tongue that you want to get to?
Yeah, no, so like let's level set before you start episode three, right? So we start Loki by entering the TVA. We know we went over episode one in a previous episode. Check out the link to that in the description of this one, in the show notes, Lou, if you will. You know, but so we kind of go through that. We have our opinions on the TVA. We have our opinions on how things can kind of play out. Episode one did a great job of getting us into the world, right? Here is the TVA. This is the TVA. This is what it does. Here are some of the rules around how we're going to operate, right? Here's Loki. Here's Mobius. Here's Renslayer. Here are the Minutemen, some more important than others, right? But yeah, those are the main players, right? This is what we're trying to do. Sacred timeline, variants, branch timelines. We reset that shit. Okay, episode one, right? Good. And then there's some, like, comic ha-ha-has and Miss Minutes is fucking around doing whatever the fuck she does. That's episode one. Then you get to episode two, and you're like, all right, now we actually got to, like, do the things that we talked about in episode one. Like, because we only got six of these bad boys, right? So, like, we need to get started, right? We need to find some variants. We need to have fun with some variants. And they do a really nice job, I think, in episode two of kind of, like, it felt very action-packed. I think episode two is probably my favorite so far because there was so much going on, right? You do, like, the apocalypse thing. You do the future thing, you do the past thing, like going kind of all over the place, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You also introduce some more fact or so, fact. Again, none of this is fact. We're talking about fucking comic book gods. Okay. You introduce some groundedness to what Loki is, right? So like he's got different kinds of powers and he can, you know, can project himself, but he kind of like explains it in different ways, right? Rewatch the scene if you want more information on that. I did not retain at all. I promise you that. But so you kind of like, you keep getting some more information, stuff that you know is going to be important, right? Like you're starting to like pick up on these things. Like, you know, you can't introduce a gun in the first act of a play if you're not going to use it in the third, right? Like that's the rules. And we're starting to get some of those things, right? Like you can't introduce stolen charges in the first act of, you know, the second episode unless you're going to use them in a major plot point in that episode, right? So we get to the end of the episode. All that shit goes off. Branch timeline is the main timeline is getting blown up and you're left with, okay, like he's going to follow her into this thing, but now what, right? Like they're going to go, presumably here we are at the end of episode two, my brain at the end of episode two going, okay, they're going into another apocalypse, right? Because they have to. So which one are they going into? How long are they going to hide? What is going on with Mobius, right? I went into episode three saying I need Mobius time, not I want Loki time, because I want to know what is happening to that fucking timeline, man. That thing is a mess. We saw, I mean, go watch the more nerdier folk than Lou and I break down like what the actual dates on like those charges meant and like what that could lead to and what that could actually mean. Like Lou said, this is not a full-time job. I gotta unpack this box. Like, everything's going on. So you can go, like, you can go read that stuff. But shit's gotta be going on. And then, Lou, you're gonna do an episode three recap here. No Mobius. No talk about this timeline.
Yeah, it was really crazy. And I'm actually slightly embarrassed that I forgot the most important part of episode two, which is, yes, the branch timeline going off. So, yeah, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you already saw that episode. And you know how crazy it is. There's great videos online. But I would say that the most important thing that we saw from the snippet of the timeline being blown up was just the fact that the TVA is not solely in Earth and has its like webs in the entire MCU universe. So you see like the planet Nowhere, you see Titan, you see Vormir, you see all these different places. And you got, you know, people trying to justify it through their day job on YouTube, trying to be like, I wonder why 1942 in New York, it was like this, or colonization. Like, I think some of those were just random to generate internet, you know, talk, but maybe a couple of them come up. I mean, episode three is called Lamentis, and I don't think Lamentis was ever added into any of that stuff too. So like, it's fun fan theory stuff, but for me, that just, it just told me that the TVA is a sprawling entity across the entire existence of whatever all of this is. So, yeah, pretty crazy stuff. The Sophia DiMartino part then brings up the fact that we have Richard E. Grant, who would be, I think, the fourth probably biggest actor that's on the slate after Sophia and Owen Wilson and obviously Tom. On IMDb, he's listed as four episodes, and I don't know if that gets updated every week. Maybe it's three next week. Maybe it'll be two. But one of the questions that I would have, because I don't think this really takes away from, you know, episode three a lot, is who is he playing? Is he playing
It's a great question.
Loki variant? There is some talk that he plays, what the hell is this guy's name? The old one, the known one.
He Who Remains. Yeah.
So for the big nerds, He Who Remains is basically this old guy that exists through the end of time. He gets all the way to the end of the game. Then he's like, let me create some people that are going to then watch over everything as time unfolds, and then they'll ensure that it unfolds correctly based on this person. There is some speculation that maybe Richard E. Grant will be He Who Remains, or the leader of the TVA, or just an older version of Loki. There's also some speculation that Mobius, I would love to get your thoughts, Mobius is another version of Loki as well. I'm not really sold on that because I don't see it, but what do you think? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so I have many a theory, but I'm going to hold off on them because a lot of them are based on what we know from episode 3. So Lou, we go into episode 3. Okay, let me tee up here. Let me put the ball on the tee for you. I got the ball in my hand. Thanks, son. Okay, son. Hold on, okay?
Keep my eye on the ball.
Keep your eye on the ball, elbow up. Squish the bug. Here's the ball. Yes. We enter episode 3, Loki and who we now know as Sylvie, Lady Loki, whatever you want to call her, have entered through the time ball thing, and they are going somewhere. We don't know where. That's how the episode ended. The sacred timeline has been there's so many bad, terrible things I could have said, but I didn't. And has gone bananas. And Loki and Sylvie, Lady Loki, are MIA. Lou, what's next?
Sure. So they just drop into the TV. They just come into the TVA. So Sylvie just strolls into the TVA. We see some footage that was shown in the trailer. Her character and Loki end up fighting some of the Minutemen. Renslayer is in a panic. And we see that at the end of the episode too. She grabs her staff. She sees the timeline has been blown up and is under the impression that this whole debacle was created to draw out her troops so only that she would remain. Another important part that neither of us, we both neglected to mention, is that at the end of episode 2 also, that same Minuteman C-20 who goes rogue in the very beginning reveals that she told Sylvie where the timekeepers are. So we are now under the assumption that Sylvie is going back to the TVA to go find the timekeepers. For what reason, we do not know. That is the most hodgepodge, glued up version of a recap we could ever provide here. But
yeah, that was rough.
Not why you're here. So
that was rough.
So Sylvie is in the TVA. She kicks ass. She's basically going to fight Renslayer, or for some reason confront the timekeepers. Loki's right behind her. They get to a point where it's just the two of them alone. Renslayer shows up. She's got two Minutemen behind her, and Sylvie grabs Loki and pulls like a knife to his neck and says, "I'll kill him." And then Renslayer says, "Go ahead." Just like, no issues. No issues with that. So what is that about? Loki then takes a temp pad, which is one of their transportation devices, basically looks like an iPhone, and transmits them to some sort of destination that is already preset. That brings them to Lamentis 1, a planet in 2077, which is currently going through an apocalypse. It's going through an episode where another planet is crashing into it and therefore creating asteroids that are just impaling Lamentis 1. A beautiful episode. The entire episode from that point on is in a red, blue, and purple LUT. It's a hue that is throughout the entire episode, which shows the flag representation of the bisexual. It's not a flag for bisexuality, but it's the color scheme that you associate it towards.
Right, so, it's what Pepsi Cola would make their logo if there was a Bi Awareness Month.
Exactly. So honestly, there's not a lot of huge details there. The rest of the show is basically this just like one off pairing of Loki and Sylvie. Some people assume that Sylvie is Lady Loki. Loki thinks that she's a variant, and she's like, "No, don't call me a Loki." So it's not immediately determined on who Sylvie is. The comic book lore drums it up as there is a character named Sylvie who was the re-spirited version of Loki post Ragnarok. And then
wasn't that who Thor was trying to like mate with? And Loki was like, "This will be hilarious, as if I become the lady that Thor wants to have sex with."
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. Ken, also, are you banging on something? You're like,
"Oh, I'm sorry. I did. I had a, there was a little buggy there. I apologize."
It's coming through loud and clear. So yeah, so there's this confusion of Sylvie, Lady Loki, and then this character Enchantress that's from the comics.
Yeah.
Ken's trying to eliminate some sort of bug on his side over there.
Oh, now I'm just trying to eliminate sobriety.
There you go. I'm under the impression that it's probably a combination of all two or three of those options, right? It's probably this person, Sylvie, who is part Loki, but also has the powers of Enchantress. Do you agree? What do you think?
Yeah, they do a nice job, I think, in the MCU of, and this is our first real dummy moment. Well, other than that recap, which was fucking
that was bad.
But they do a really nice job.
It's in the title. Yeah.
They do a really nice job in the MCU, I think, of giving comic book lovers and like people who really understand the lore and people who really read it and like really live it, giving them something to latch onto, but also allowing the newbies, the dummies, to grow with that character also. So like they mission mesh villains and mission mesh, you know, like secondary characters into story arcs that make sense for everybody, which is good. And you think about somebody like Enchantress or Sylvie, right? And you're like, you and I, right, the dummies, anybody listening to this podcast, yeah, whether you be like, in the Philippines or Brazil or the US, right? Like, you're like, that doesn't mean anything to me. So you need it to be like, it needs to be organic for us as well. Just as like, you know, I am sure there were people way more into this than we were back in the day who in 2009 were like, wow, I can't wait until Thanos is here. Thanos is going to be so much fun. It's going to be wild, yeah. Right? But like for people like us, it was just cool seeing them build up this guy in the background and not even know who Thanos was. And like, right. So you need to do that. You need to have that organic build of these characters to give it some gravitas, right? The je ne sais quoi for us idiots who know French, apparently. So, you know, what are you going to do? And I think the MCU does a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, I agree. They give you the whole meal, but then there's also so much more behind it if you really do care about that stuff too. So yeah, I'm a big fan of that. So Sylvie, we'll just call her Sylvie through this episode because that's what she's called. Sylvie and Loki are walking through this planet. They are trying to get off the planet because Sylvie is aware that this planet basically has, you know, no survival. Like everyone dies on this planet. Yeah. So Modus. That's not what I was going to say. Objective number one is to just get off this planet. But they can't do that because the temp pad that got them there is out of battery. So you'd think that intergalactic
you gotta plug that shit in
would have a better battery system. So
you would think
obviously
you would definitely
didn't bring a power bank. They need to get more power here. And they go on the quest to try to find another power source. They come across this weird hut. Which EA Voss is on vacation, so he hasn't done a breakdown. I don't understand that scene of in the hut with the woman and like the shotgun. It's like sitting at the
door. Well, she's up to something, right? I mean, she's up to something.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot more there. Yes,
I don't know what's going on with that, but they come across some woman whose purpose, I don't know if there's a deeper meaning, but whose purpose is basically to tell them that there is a train that is taking the elites away from like the big crash area to kind of give them a better chance to survive. So Sylvie and Loki are like, let's go to the train. They have the debate on like what gets you places. Loki's more so about the diplomatic route. Sylvie kind of just wants to like, you know, smash and burn left and right. Loki uses his mischief disguise as a guard, gets him and Sylvie onto the train with some help with Sylvie's powers as Enchantress. So they have hoodwinked their way into this train car, have some good conversations there. The crux, I think, of the conversations that they have, there's actually two parts that I'll bring up. There's the one part, they're basically talking about how they got there. Sylvie, unfortunately, also adopted, like Loki, right? Loki, brother of Thor, son of Odinson, son of Odin, but was a child of the Frost Giants in line with Norse mythology. He is adopted by Odin, becomes Thor's son, but he is, you know, a son of Laufeysen of Jotunheim. He remembers his upbringing, has a beautiful relationship with his mother Frigga, who's a witch, teaches him all of his mystic powers. Sylvie does not know where she came from. She does not understand where her powers come from. And it brings this parallel of the two different characters and their upbringing that some might think are actually the same. Loki has very beautiful moments where he thinks about his late mother, who he basically got killed. He's got a cool thing where he has fireworks that comes out of his hand and basically says that she was the woman that you wanted her to believe in you. And then there's a little bit of a silence. Sylvie then says, you have any love interests, you know, back on the planet? Loki's basically like, yeah, you know, came and went. And we got the coolest part, I think, of recent MCU history is where she says, do you have a princess or maybe a bit of a prince? And Loki responds with a bit of both, which builds on the conversation we had from episode one about Loki being gender fluid and the fact that Loki's character is bisexual. So really cool moment during Pride Month, all across the board.
Yeah.
What did you think about that? With like Marvel being like low-key, like quiet about LGBTQ representation in the past, like Valkyrie and her, you know,
yeah,
girl love interest, but clearly her, you know, her partner, and then, you know, Captain Marvel possibly also being in a relationship with Maria Rambeau. What were your thoughts there that, you know, Marvel stepping up and saying like, no, this was our intention. What you read into is correct.
I think it's also important to mention like how much Marvel maybe needed that moment since the weird Anthony Mackie stuff that happened this week. Like,
yeah, did you read the article?
Yeah, like very uncomfortable. Really, it's like very strange. It's even hard to like put a finger on what the fuck he's talking about. You know, like he just like,
yeah,
went off the rails. Like he honestly sounded like, and it read, like, I didn't hear it. So it could just be that it translated weird on paper, right? But like just such a weird way to say literally fucking anything, Anthony.
So Anthony Mackie, what are you talking about? For Captain Falcon Winter Soldier, Anthony Mackie, very important going forward because we'll be basically the leader of the Avengers and also right. Captain America 4. So much weight pushed behind him with assistance from Malcolm Spellman, producer of Falcon Winter Soldier, about what it means to wear the shield as a black man in America. And, you know, if you listen to this podcast, Ken has been dying for a Bucky and Sam makeout scene.
I have.
And there's so many scenes of them just staring at each other in the face and some sort of connection. I never thought the show would go that route, but whatever. And, you know, it's fictional made-up stuff. Bless you, Ken. It's fictional made-up stuff, which I kind of side more on the, like, I don't know, you make your own opinions. But Anthony Mackie comes out and he just goes like, no, like two men can be intimate with each other and have a relationship and it doesn't have to be romantic. That's what's wrong with these times. And it's like, whoa.
It's very strange thing there to say. Very it didn't make any, it just didn't track, you know, like it sounded like it was an episode of Seinfeld. Like it was all very like, oh, this, not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, like it just sounded like it was just weird. It was uncomfortable. I'm hoping that it just kind of like translated weird, or that like he didn't actually have an opinion on it, which it sounds like he really doesn't. You know, like his response basically is Sam and Bucky don't fuck, right? Like that's it. And it's like, okay, like that's fine. That's all you needed to say. The rest of it was weird and uncomfortable and like very, it was icky. It was just icky because it didn't make any sense. Yeah. Anyway.
So it wasn't Chris Evans-esque.
Right. That aside.
Yeah, he'd have his arm back and be like, I don't know, baby, whatever floats your boat. And he'd be like,
Chris, such a weird guy. Such a weird guy. Yeah, liking the angle of the dangle.
I like the videos of like him and Scarlett Johansson with each other and just being like, ooh. What happened?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen.
Happened something.
Happened.
One can only speculate. Yeah. You know, Kevin Durant, big fan of Scarlett Johansson. On the Bill Simmons podcast, like Bill was like, oh, we had Scarlett Johansson. He was just like, you know what, Bill? I love that woman. And Bill was like, really? And he's like, I would drink her bathwater.
Oh, Kevin.
And I think because Kevin Durant is like such a crazy psychopath on Twitter, he definitely has like messaged Chris Evans, who strikes me as the type that like only uses it for marketing and has like one follower, and it's like someone very weird and specific. And Kevin Durant's probably just like, yo, use a bitch because of all the times how it's Scarlett Johansson. But yeah, very aggressive. Okay.
Wow.
Let's come back to the sacred timeline here, Ken, because
that really threw me
away.
That really threw
what
me.
Were you gonna say?
So I was going to say that it was a very important moment for Marvel to have after their weird week during Pride Month with Anthony Mackie, but just like a really cool thing. And, you know, like we, you know, it's important to recognize that representation is important. I don't think anybody firmly believes that anybody's sexual identity is news, but we live in a time where those folks have been persecuted and torn down for so long in the entirety of human existence, really, that it needs to happen. We need to recognize that it's a normal thing. You need to normalize it. It needs to get to the point where it's so normal that it's not news, right? Carl Nassib, right? Nassib, I don't know how to say his name.
Nassib.
Nassib plays for the Raiders, I believe.
Now he does, yeah.
Yep. Defensive end, I believe. First openly gay football player, not named Michael Sam, but unfortunately Michael Sam was, like, pretty bad. So, like, it made it hard to, like, count him.
I would say the most high-profile football player.
Yeah. The most high-profile professional athlete to ever come out is gay.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is still crazy.
Which is insane. Just insane. So, like, but these things are important. Nobody is sitting there at night laying in bed going, wow, I wonder who Carl Nassib is sleeping with. Nobody gives a damn. However, these people have been so under that community, the gay community, the bisexual community, the transgender community, whoever, has been so aggressively misrepresented and underrepresented that those things are important. And in the grand scheme of things, no, they are not. Everybody knows that. Love is love, right? People are still people, yada, yada, yada. However, because of that, in pop culture and entertainment and sports and all this stuff, which is such a microcosm of what we do as a society, it is so important to have representation there. It just is. And so, like, it just is a really cool moment. You know, I thought it was but they didn't talk about it ever again. You know, it's just like, you know, you got a boyfriend, you got a girlfriend. He was like, I've had both. And that was it.
Yeah.
And that's a normal conversation. Millions of people have that conversation. It's a normal thing. And it's really cool to see it happen on a show that's got a $4 billion budget to make everything purple.
Yeah, that is true. And I'll read the tweet from the executive producer of Loki, Kate Herron, who said on Twitter, from the moment I joined Loki, it was very important to me. And my goal to acknowledge Loki was bisexual. It is a part of who he is and who I am, too. I know this is a small step, but I'm happy and heart is so full to say that this is now canon. #MCU, #Loki. What a perfect person to also deliver this as, like, Tom Hiddleston. There was just no, like, because Tom Hiddleston just strikes me as this individual of, like, who cares, right? Like, I know he's had, you know, he's a bit of a womanizer in Hollywood here, but the fact that, like, it just doesn't have to be that much of a thing, and it's, like,
right. Basically,
it's just not talked about. Even, like, with gender fluid, like, he was basically just, like, it's been there all along. And even in, like, Norse mythology, like, Loki, I saw this, like, funny meme. It was, like, wait until, you know, conservatives hear this, like, Norse story of Loki transforming into a horse and then has relations with another horse, then creates a horse, and it comes back to, like, Loki's form. So it's, like, if you think Loki being bisexual is going to be a problem with some people, wait until you really hear what Norse mythology has up its sleeve, too.
Oh, that's wild.
But really,
I need that to be the all of episode 6.
Yeah, Loki's just a horse.
But
it's cool stuff because although Tom Hiddleston, I believe, identifies as a male, he's also playing a god that can shapeshift, and it brings this question of, like, who cares, right? Like, who cares?
Right. Like, well, Lou, because there are some things that are so sacred, you know.
Okay.
Because here we are.
This is one angle.
We got this big green man that we refer to as Ed Norton or the Hulk, whatever you want to call him. But he can't also suck a dick. That's insane.
Well, he couldn't get it up in Infinity War. He needed some help.
It's just such a weird hill to die on. It's like, wow, this movie's great. I love that purple man with the big metal glove that makes half the world disappear. If that boy is kissing another feller, I'm leaving the theater.
But Thanos is purple. He's basically doing euthanasia.
What the fuck are we doing here? Like, don't worry. Chris Pratt's out there basically ass fucking Gamora on the damn ship. And everybody's like, yeah, that's normal. But Loki's like, I like boys. And but come on.
So when I upload the podcast, it's like clean or explicit. And at this moment, I'm like, all right, well, the bird has been cooked at this point. So, yeah. And just to, you know, give that moment a bit of more clarity here. So if he's a DiMartino's character, I'm just reading, like, the captions that Kate Herron also put out there. It says, how about you? You're a prince. She says, must have been would-be princesses or perhaps another prince, and gives a bit of a, and Loki says, a bit of both, I suspect the same as you. And she's like, same. driving at the fact that these characters are more intertwined throughout this multiverse.
Right.
So yeah, really cool moment. They are having this conversation while they're in a train car, and Sylvie's character is like, yo, I can't sleep during here. Loki, as we know in the TVA archives, can just pass out anywhere. He's much more proficient at just falling asleep randomly. Sylvie falls asleep, then wakes up. Loki is singing an Asgardian drinking song. He's shit-faced on this train that is moving. I don't know where it's going because the whole planet's going to be erupted. Like, Lamentous One is being impaled with meteors left and right. She sees something weird. This man is like watching Loki. Then he leaves the train car. She's like, we got to go. Something strange is happening. Then a bunch of guards come up there. They have a big fight. We see some cool fighting from Loki. He can shoot green stuff out of his hands. Pretty cool. Sylvie, much better fighter. Loki gets thrown out of the train window. Sylvie then goes to follow him because they need the temp pad. They need to get off of this planet, and the temp pad has yet to be recharged. So it is still useless. That is still objective number one. They then see the city, and they're like, all right, well, let's go there because there is this arc that is going to leave to get off the city. It is complete pandemonium. There are guards that are oppressing these people. Loki realizes that everybody's going to die here. They're fighting through the guards to try to get to this arc to get off of the planet. The only point I'll like bring up is we see this building that is falling, and Loki then just stops it with telekinesis. Depends on what corner you are in. Some people believe it is telekinesis. Some people believe that Loki is carrying the time stone, which is a question that I'll ask our good pal Ken when I'm shortly done. But moral of the story is they do not get off of the planet at the end of this episode. Really great scene where Loki's just watching this ship get blown up because there's meteors everywhere, and Sylvie just walks away. But we know because in future episodes, they eventually do get off this planet. So it should not be a huge concern there. It just depends on how they get off the planet, which Ken, I don't know if you saw some of the leaked footage from episode 4.
No.
We might have. Okay. I won't say anything there, but
yeah, please don't. I try. So here's something for
there's
the
like comments. 30 seconds of it. It was just some pictures, but go ahead. You take over.
Here's what I try to do. I try to avoid trailers as much as humanly possible, and I try to avoid early footage. I think they're misleading, and I think some of them are too much of a giveaway. You know, like, listen, I'm not sitting here thinking that Loki and Sylvie are going to die next episode, right? That'd be stupid. Right? That's not going to happen. If you're going in assuming that it's possible that, you know, maybe. See, this is the fun thing about the show. Maybe the Loki you think you know dies. Right? It's possible. Mm. Right? But maybe that's not the Loki that we really do know.
Yeah.
You
it
don't
does
know.
Bring up questions of like this is the MCU. If you're not going, I don't think they would bring up Sylvie and bring in Sofia DiMartino to just have her in the series. So it's like, what role does this character play going forward? What do you think about that?
Right. I mean, listen, it's interesting, right? Because it all really comes down to
Owen Wilson.
Right. Because it all really comes down to what is the TVA, right? What is the TVA doing? Where are we? And what's the purpose, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's start really high up. Do you think? What is your theory on the timekeepers? What is your theory on the timekeepers? Or who do you think is pulling the strings? And who do you think is like ultimately in charge? Let's start as high as we can go, and then we'll work our way down.
Yeah. So I think the timekeepers are bullshit.
You don't think they're real at all?
I don't think they're real.
Okay.
I think the timekeepers are very Wizard of Oz creatures. I think Minutes. Is the leader. I don't know what her deal is, but Miss Minutes could be Richard E. Grant.
Is it like a supreme intelligence, like how the Kree work?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like that, but I would think like it's more of like a Wizard of Oz type situation where Miss Minutes is the one who's keeping the eye, who's the wizard, right? The wizard's got eyes on everything, right? And you know, the TVA is kind of like this thing out of time, right? So, like, they have this pretty crazy, like, tech stuff, and, you know, they're just doing whatever the hell they want, really. And I think Richard E. Grant is the wizard, is the man pulling on the strings of the wizard behind the curtain.
Do you have a name for Richard E. Grant? Like, who do you think?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I think he who remains is probably the best option. just based on my very limited knowledge, it seems like the best option. I also wouldn't be shocked if Renslayer was in on some of this shit. She is indoctrinated. She is a cultist. Okay, she's in this shit.
Ken, we made another whoopsie again.
No, what did we do?
We neglected to mention in episode 3 the fact that we realized that everyone at the TVA is
this married. Is a pretty big one.
Yeah, it's a pretty big one. So MCU for Dummies, best of number 2 this evening. Sylvie and Loki are having a conversation. They're basically talking about like the people there. Loki's like, how did you figure out the information about the TVA? And she says, oh, I extracted it from one of their Minutemen, C-20, who she captured in the previous episode when they played Ken's favorite workout song, I Need a Hero. And in that scene, Sylvie is basically preying on the memories of C-20 of past life when she drank margaritas on the beach and gets the information from her about where the timekeepers are. So she's like, oh, they're all just normal human beings from a different past life, almost like a la like WandaVision. Loki's like, wait, they don't know that. And then they like run off because they have to escape this planet. We don't get any more information past that point. But everyone at the TVA is a person. And we don't know how they got there. And they had a past life, which keeps Mobius's dream of reuniting with a jet ski still intact. So now, Ken, let's work our way down the power chain. Do you think Renslayer is a variant or do you think she is her true form?
Yeah, I think she's in it. I think she's real. And I think she's a cultist. I think she is a major issue. She is a big time.
Well, what is the point? Like,
yeah, but I think she's working with Richard E. Grant. I think they've got something going on. I think there's a bigger connection to Kang the Conqueror. I think there's a big connection to the quantum realm. I think this shit goes deep, buddy. I don't know how deep we can get here, but I think the TVA, and we're going to find out. I think I'm confident enough to say that everybody that gets reset, right with that resetter, becomes a TVA agent. They just get like their mind wiped. They get that kind of magic in them and they become a TVA. So they're basically enslaving their own army, which they then send out to control specific timelines to allow for certain things to happen. I think that it's very nefarious. See, I'm not going to say I was right back in episode 1 when I said the TVA had some shit up their sleeve. It's very clear. It was very clear that they had some shit up their sleeve. We're starting to find out what that may be. I think next episode we might get a clearer picture because we will see some sacred timeline stuff. I still think Mobius is a genuine guy. I don't think he is too crazy. He clearly doesn't know any better, right? There's definitely a variant of himself out there. There's obviously, as we just learned, everybody's a variant in the TVA. And I think he's just genuinely a good dude just trying to do his job, doing what he was taught was correct. And I still think there's a fair chance, man, that he passes at the end of this season. This could be very sad.
Well, I love the scene where him and Loki are talking at the cafeteria and Loki's basically trying to, I think Loki knew in episode 2 that there was some weird variant stuff going on with the people that like no one really knew what was going on. There's Infinity Stones there. It's like nothing was really adding up. And I love that part where he's talking with Mobius Owen Wilson and he's basically like, how can you believe in all of this? Like lizard people that are basically just controlling this sacred timeline. Like this doesn't make any sense. How could you live your days like this? And Owen Wilson weirdly is like sitting back, like laid back with his hand is in his pocket. It's like really strange sitting. And it's like, that looks uncomfortable for acting. Is like, hey, like you believe in like gods and thunder people. And that's what you choose to believe in. And he's basically like, I believe in this. So therefore I believe it is real. And that's how I live my life. And I think that's like it's a deep conversation of like, what is all this? And how do we know that we're not both variants in different realms of Earth and talking amongst each other? Like we don't, but we believe in what we're going through right now. So therefore it's real. I think that was kind of cool, but I agree with you. I don't think Mobius is Loki. I think that's like really far stretching. And I don't know why you would add this character Mobius in, but people speculate that the show is about Loki variants. I don't think that he's one though. That's my take. It doesn't make sense. I think the purpose of Mobius is just to show the layman's average person of the TVA that like has experience with Renslayer, because how else would you show Renslayer? You need someone to talk to that character. You need someone to be able to facilitate conversation with Loki. I think that Loki's just Mobius is just like average dude just punching the time clock.
Yeah. Kind of
like Casey.
Yeah, so, there's so much, man.
Yeah, there's so much. Okay, but you think Renslayer is real? Okay, so did you hear the news that we're not going to get any wows from Owen Wilson?
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah,
what's up with that?
That's something you were looking forward to. We are also not going to get any showing of Kang, the Jonathan Myers character, but perhaps we get something that is like similar to Thanos in the earlier movies where we just get like a glimpse of him. But I do have a question that, you know, maybe we just set to other points, but it seems like Multiverse of Madness is really being loaded up to be a big movie. Do you think it will sit in the tier of Civil War? Do you think it will sit in the tier of Infinity War? Like, what is your – it won't be an Avengers 5, but it really does seem like
it's
going to have a big punch. So
it's a good question. I think and I guess actually let me double check a release schedule.
Yeah, because while you look that up, I'll fill in the gaps. Like we've already had the experience with Wanda. We've seen White Vision returning, so that closes a lot of things there, sets it up for the Scarlet Witch. Falcon and Winter Soldier really touch upon this a lot. Loki comes back, Doctor Strange, we go back to Ken. For this part, but yeah, what do you see in the schedule?
So we don't get anything else after. I mean, we get What If in August, which, as you know, is not my thing. Black Widow's in a couple weeks, then Shang-Chi, then the Eternals, and then here's the thing. Here's what I think is the real kicker: we get Spider-Man No Way Home at the end of this year in December.
Spider-Man in the Multiverse, you mean?
But No Way Home is the official name.
Oh, okay.
But in that, you know, you're getting Doctor Strange in that movie. That's confirmed. We know
Garfield and Tobey Maguire.
We're pretty sure we are. I mean, there's almost no way that you're not. You're getting old middle school Doc Ock. You're getting Jamie Foxx Electro. Like, Spider-Man No Way Home is going to tear this shit to shreds, okay?
Okay, so you think, like, Loki is setting up the Spider-Man movie, which is setting up Multiverse of Madness.
Correct. And I think Multiverse of Madness is going to have many a cameo. I think I'd be shocked if everybody we've seen thus far in the MCU doesn't get an ounce of FaceTime. Maybe with doctored footage or re-edited stuff here and there. I think you'll see Tony Stark in Multiverse of Madness. I think you'll see Chris Evans, Captain America, in Multiverse of Madness. You know, just some bullshit ways. But I think you're going to see a lot of shit in that movie. And I think it's all going to be hinted at in No Way Home.
It's interesting. I think it's going to be a really big movie. And I think... I love Doctor Strange's character. Wanda has grown up a lot since the standalone Avengers movies, who I think now can like kind of hold her weight. So I think it's going to be one of those. That's why I throw out Civil War and Infinity War, because I think it will be very fast-paced moving where it like different characters are holding the show up. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I think it's going to be really good there too. And I would agree. I think we're going to see some flashbacks, because if you believe that Avengers 5 is going to be some rendition of Secret Wars, then that's going to involve there being past versions of these Marvel characters coming back to life. Whether they can get Tony Stark coming back, I don't know. Or they can get, you know, Chris Evans to be back as Captain America, I don't know either. But I guess time will have to tell. Ken, do you think there's any other variants throughout the MCU at this point? Or are you just kind of like they're all in the Loki show at this point?
I'm sure we'll see some more. I mean, we've seen some stuff in previews and whatever, right? We know we're getting President Loki at some point, right? We're gonna see him around. We're gonna see some more Lokis. I mean, what are there, 3 episodes left?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be shocked.
What do you think has to happen in this 3 episodes?
Good question. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even.
Let's do that.
I don't even know.
Grant. You got President Loki. I think you got to have like, some of the leaked footage. It seems like we're going to get more of a backstory of Sylvie. So I'll just say there. So yeah, backstory of Sylvie. Like, what else has to happen for this Loki season to kind of come full arc? And where do you think it's going to land at the end of it? Because the whole timeline's already blown up. So like,
yeah,
what happens next? Like, what else is there left? What do you think?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Well,
I think
that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, I know. I'm like trying to rack my brain here. It's there's so much, right? Like there's just so many options. I mean, they've opened up a world where there's literally infinity options. They could do anything they want next episode. Right, they could say, okay, we live on Vormir now, right? Like they could do whatever they want. And they could bring back whoever they want. They could, you know, and like the Natasha Romanoff fans are thinking, okay, maybe that charge on Vormir brings Natasha Romanoff back to the Avengers, and she's back in real life. There's infinity options right now, and it just makes it so hard to answer the questions. I think if there's one way it's gonna go, I think we're going to learn that the timekeepers are fucking bullshit. We're going to learn that TVA is fucking bullshit. Renslayer is working for someone. Who is that someone? Perhaps it's Richard E. Grant. Who is Richard E. Grant working for, right? Like, who's the boss of the boss of the boss of the boss? I think we're going to work our way up the time, up the scorecard there. We're going to get from Renslayer to Richard E. Grant to Kang the Conqueror, not in show. Right, we're just going to kind of hear hints about who's in charge of this, who's in charge of that, yada yada yada. Sacred timelines, a bunch of hooey, the whole thing, right? And the TVA, in a very similar like Wanda. I mean, we heard C-20, right? The Minuteman, this episode three. She was like, it's all real. Like, I want to go back. I want to go back to my life, right? I was reset and I became a member of the fucking TVA that I did not want to be a goddamn part of. Like, right? You know what I mean? So it's like, all of this stuff is going to uncrumble for the TVA. Miss Minutes is a sneaky bitch, right? Like, what is she up to? We don't know. I think my prediction for episode four is we learn that Renslayer works for somebody else. That is, and we know she does, right? We know she works for the Timekeepers. But I think we're going to learn in episode four, we're going to see Renslayer go see the Timekeepers.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be Richard E. Grant. That's it.
Yeah. Just one character.
What do you think? Yeah, episode four?
I think we got another explainer in the fold. I don't know. Cause I don't know what the purpose of the series is supposed to be. Cause I'm just a dummy. But we got to get Richard E. Grant in here somewhere in some sort of character. I would have thought they would have blown up the timeline much later in the series. I think if you would have went back to episode one, we probably would have assumed that probably would have occurred in like episode five. Like, that would have been a bigger reveal. But I wonder if we kind of find something like a Westview where all the people that were TVA agents are returned back to their former state. And
yeah.
You know, for new rock stars, MT and, you know, her name's not coming to me right now. They're basically talking about how like TVA has basically created their own jail force by just imprisoning all these people to do their dirty work.
Seriously.
Which is like really strange. I don't know if the whole story can be told in a TV show. I don't know if it continues in the Multiverse Madness. That's, you know, separate conversation, but it's like, who really is the one who wants to prune all the timelines to create just the one sacred flow of time? It seems like something that Benedict Cumberbatch, as Dr. Strange, would have to explain to us.
You gotta hope, my friend. You gotta hope. Help me.
Maybe we get it from
help me,
else.
Benedict. Help me, Mr. Help Cumberbatch.
You. Yeah. What else you got? But you got anything else you're thinking about?
I don't think so. I think we're in pretty good shape, Loki-wise. I think episode four is going to be turning point, right? It's obviously it's middle of the road, but I think episode three was a little bit of a throwaway setup, right? You kind of saw it as a little bit of the epilogue to episode two. I saw it a little bit more as a prologue to episode four, So this is kind of, I think this is going to be the biggest lull in the season. Not that we're without anything to talk about either. Like, there's plenty going on. Pretty big reveal that everybody in TVA is a variant. But that's about it.
Okay. That makes sense. Do you think the Infinity Stones come back at all? What do you think about that? The speculation that Loki took the Time Stone with him and he's walking around with it. This is still the Loki from the 2012 Avengers. He is under the impression that the Infinity Stones are still the most powerful item. So,
I don't see why he wouldn't. Come on, you're in a room with all these Infinity Stones. He is Loki, right? I mean, I think there's a fairly good chance that he took one. And I know the speculation is that he took the Time Stone in particular, which we know to be one of the more powerful stones. In setting up all sorts of craziness. So I think there's a chance. I think it would be a weird... I think they made that scene explicitly to tell us that Infinity Stones don't matter anymore. I think that was the whole point. So I think to bring it back and to lean more back on the Infinity Stone would be a waste of their time. I don't think they would do that. I think we're done with Infinity Stones. I think any more talk about Infinity Stones is a waste of breath. I think they're donezo.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was a good scene. People use it as paperweights, if you didn't know.
Yeah, done. Okay, great. Let's move on.
Exactly. All right. You want to finish this up or?
Wrap me up like a Christmas present.
Okay. Wrap you up. I'll do the wrap up. Thank you for everybody who's been listening so far. Ken and I read some stats offline. We got representation from all around the English speaking world, as well as Russia and Iran. So for those of you guys listening, thank you. It's pretty crazy. We're over on Twitter. We're trying to grow up our following over there. MCU for Dummies. Go check that out. You see some shorter videos as well as some of our tweets. We had a quick little spur of the viral world where we sent out a tweet saying that we don't want the timekeepers to be a Mandarin moment, and kind of took off. So that was kind of cool. But the Ken's theory, we think it's just going to be Richard E. Grant and some form of He Who Remains, but we'll see in the last three episodes. But yeah, just thank you to everyone who's still listening. Check out our YouTube videos under the Corner Booth Network. You can check Ken and I on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Stuff there.
And don't forget.
I'm already doing folks, it.
Yeah, don't forget. The Corner Booth Network of shows. We got the Mets Exchange. We got the Corner Booth, which is, I believe, making a return at some point in the near future. We've got MCU for Dummies, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, the whole nine. Like, follow, subscribe, watch Loki every Wednesday. Follow me on Twitter at Cashman. I'm talking a lot about the Islanders these days, and I apologize about that.
Let's
follow
go Lou. Islanders.
Lou, what's the Twitter handle?
Louis Dallo. I can't get Lou Dallo because someone else has it.
Shit, I'm sorry.
I'm not gonna pay for that handle.
Yeah, that's fair. So, that's definitely fair.
Unfortunately,
so there you go.
Remains.
Follow the Dummies on Twitter. We're having a lot of fun with Loki. We hope you are too. We hope you're having a lot of fun here with us. MCU for Dummies. I'm dummy number one, Ken. That is dummy number two, Lou. And we will see you next week for another Loki recap.
Bye-bye. Yo hoi min yoi.